Savior God, to Thee. And how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art, how great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Lord, you're such a great God. We say thank you. You are the good shepherd this morning. You are the Almighty. And God, whatever we walked in this place with this morning, we don't have to leave the same. Thank you for that. Thank you for your love, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. I hope that you all had a wonderful week. And if you're a visitor today, we just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We hope that you feel at home. We would love to get to know you better. We have a part of our bulletin that you can fill out and drop in the offering, and that just allows us, like I said, to get to know you better. And then we also have a gift for you out in the lobby at the counter, just our way of saying welcome and thank you so much for coming. So if you guys will open your bulletins today, there are a lot of announcements in them, and I can't touch on all of those this morning, so please read them for yourselves and check it out. And there's a few things that aren't in here that I want to tell you about. First of all, today is Harvest Hoedown. Yeah, woohoo! One of my favorite days of the year, always a wonderful time. It is out in Meadville, and I told you last week, I know some of you are going to say, do I want to make that drive? Yes, yes you do. It is a lot of fun. We have hay rides, bonfires, games for the kids, s'mores, hot dogs, and more stuff like that going on. And it's just the perfect fall evening at the home of Larry and Teresa Muck. The address is in here in the bulletin. And we also have maps out in the lobby for you guys. So make sure and grab one of those if you're not sure that your GPS will get you there. Also, Pastor Bob has spray painted a little pumpkin gold. And so if your children are in kindergarten through fifth grade, they will get an opportunity to go look for the golden pumpkin. And the prize for that is he has a Dairy Queen card and a Sonic gift card that they can win if they find the golden pumpkin. Last year, you hit it really well. They didn't find it till the end of the night. So I don't know where it'll be this year. Only Larry will know. But that'll be going for the kids as well. Bring some lawn chairs and any yard games that you want to play. And we kind of made a little bit of a schedule just so you know what's up, because you can come and go at any point in that time. But we're going to start the yard games around 5:30. Pastor Bob has like a flower sack race and a relay and some things like that with some gifts. And then at 6:30, if you want to jam around the fire, Chad's bringing his guitar and they're just going to kind of play some music around the fire. So if you are an aspiring musician or you play at home or whatever and you want to bring your instrument, you can join them at 6:30 for that. $2 per person. We hope that you'll come out. It's one of our favorite nights as a church family, and that is today. Also happening today is food pantry from 2 to 4. So if you volunteer for food pantry, make sure that you are there by 1:30. That'll be going on this afternoon. And then next Sunday, we have Family Day at the Pumpkin Patch. And so we've done that for several years, especially Tiny Town kids. But if you have older kids and you want to attend as well, we'll be meeting as a church family at the Pumpkin Patch next Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's a lot of fun as well. And we also have Trunk or Treat going this month. So October is always so busy for our church family. Trunk or Treat is a huge outreach that we do to the community. I know that many of you are new within the last year, so you may not have seen it before, but we usually reach out to 600 to 800 kids that night. So a lot of kids come through here. And we need volunteers for that night. We usually try to have about 30 trunks. And I think so far we have 9 signed up. So we need quite a few more people who will sign up to open up their trunk. Usually they dress up and they decorate and they hand out candy from their trunk. We need church family who will donate candy to the church because that's a lot of candy for each person to buy. And so if you're able to donate some candy, that helps alleviate the cost for the people doing the trunk. We are not going to do the food as we've done normally in the past. We've kind of switched it up. And so we're going to have a train going for the kids. We have a hay maze, I think like a big pile of corn kernels for them to crawl around in, and some inflatables. And we need people who would sign up to work at each of those things and say, hey, you know, one at a time, or please don't choke the other children around you, or whatever it is that kids do. So if you can help us the night of Halloween, we would be very grateful. And there are sign-up sheets at the desk in the lobby. And then the last thing I want to touch on today is actually not in your bulletin. We are just looking for some activities geared toward moms who are home with their kids. I know sometimes they begin to feel a little bit lonely and isolated. And so we're looking for something fun for them to do. And my mom, Kim Berkey, actually volunteered on Thursday at 2 o'clock. This is not in your bulletin. But Thursday at 2 o'clock, we're just going to have a pumpkin decorating time with the kids just for fun. If you have older kids, the reason we did it Thursday afternoon is school is out early. So if you're home and you have older kids, you're welcome to bring them as well. She decorated this just to give you an idea of some creativity that you could put into this pumpkin decorating contest. We will have all of the supplies to decorate at the church. We're also having cookies, and I think a few ladies are coming to help. So if you have more than one child, you're not overwhelmed. You just bring the pumpkin. So the only thing we ask if you're wanting to come to that is that you bring the pumpkin for your child. And if you could let myself or my mom know or sign up on the event on Facebook, that'll just give us an idea of how many to prepare for. Again, that's Thursday, 2 o'clock. Bring your kids out for some pumpkin decorating fun. Thank you, guys. And Molly is going to come to take the offering.
Good morning. Chad asked me to take the offering today, and I have been around. Most of you don't remember them, the Watkins. They always said, be ready in season, out of season. So I'm a little shaky, but I think I'm ready. And I hope you don't have a big message because I got stuff to talk about. I wanted to say, I was not raised in a Christian household, just very brief. I was not. Mitch and I got married at the ripe old age of 19 years old. And because of his upbringing with tithe and doing your offering, it opened up doors for us. So at 19 years old, we were able to buy our first house. We were able to do a lot of things, and we were constantly being blessed. And we did our bills together, and he'd always say, okay, first thing we do is the tithe. First thing we always give is the tithe. The first scripture I ever learned, and it is my favorite scripture, is in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through, I think, 10. And it says, basically, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And then it also says, be not wise in your own eyes, a reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn away from evil. And then in 19, it says, this Bible is different than what I've learned, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase, and he will make your barns overflow and your vats will overflow with new wine. And I like the fact that this verse tells you to trust. We have to trust the Lord. It's our money. It's what makes the world go round, unfortunately. And when you stop and you trust God and you say, okay, this is what I need to give, this is what I need to do, and then you can see the blessings happen. A long time ago, I had a gal ask me, Molly, I want to tithe, but my husband isn't big on it, and I don't know what to do. I said, you know what? And I just signed up. I found out today in Sunday school that I am correct. Thank you, Michael and Bill. It does say to test the Lord. It says to test what he tells you. So I told her, I said, you know what? Right now I want you to tithe, and I want you to write down the date, and I want you to give it a month, and then see where you're at. And it's not going to necessarily be going to come back to you. Mitch and I have been blessed with finances, but we also were blessed 1 year with a whole side of beef. And to think how much money we saved because we didn't have to go to the grocery store, it wasn't financially at that time, but it was later on that we got that blessing. So don't always think of it as a financial. It could be in other ways that he wants to bless you. but to trust him and to test him. And I always like to make God laugh. So in my head, I always say, I double dog dare you, God. Show me, prove me that I can do this and prove me that you're going to bless me and it's going to come back. So I just challenge you all today. If you are not tithers, I just ask and challenge you that you guys would tithe today. Mark it in your calendar if this is the first time you've done. And then just kind of see where it's led you. See what blessings it's given you. And you will be utterly and completely amazed. So if you all bow your heads. Father God, I just thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for this church family, Father God. And I thank you that the lights are on, that the air's on, and the heat's on. And we have a great roof over our head. And I thank you for the tithe that comes in so that we can do that. And I thank you that it will also bless the giver, Father God. For those that I challenge today, Father God, I thank you that I double dog dared you and you will do what your word says that you will do, that you will bless them, that it will come down to them 30, 60, 100 times full, Father God. And I thank you for that right now. I thank you that we are cheerful givers, that we give with a great heart, Father. And I just thank you for all the good things that you want to give us, that we will always have more than enough, that our needs will always be met through you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest, fields of green, quiet stream. Even though I walk death and die, I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. Shepherd staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, follow me, house of God forever. God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest, he feels a breeze, quiet spring. Even though I walk the valley, death and die, I will not fear. You are with me. You are with me. Shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my peace in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness follows me, follows me, in the house of God forever. The house of God forever.
The truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Thank you, Angie. As I'm transitioning here, every week have to figure out what songs we're going to sing for worship. And there's kind of three different choices when it comes to worship songs and what they're saying. Sometimes they're worship songs that are us making a commitment to God, like All to Jesus I Surrender. I surrender all. There's other songs that are singing to God about who He is, reminding us, building our faith as to who God truly is. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger, higher than any other. And so there's those kinds of songs. And then there's some songs that are us not just making a commitment to God, but singing to God about something that we believe. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son, or it is well with my soul, even though sometimes it may not feel like it. We believe that, and so we sing that. And out of that, each one of those songs have a meaning to them. There's a purpose for each one of them. And like I said, a lot of times it comes down to building our faith. This morning, I want in this sermon to remind you of who Jesus is. And I don't want to remind you of who Jesus is based on what I have to say. Obviously, we're going based on what God's Word has to say. So I want you to turn to what Angie just read in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And that's going to be our text this morning. Who is Jesus? All throughout John, the Gospel of John, Jesus is telling us exactly who He is. He does it metaphorically. And so to give you an example of some of those, in John chapter 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 6:35, He says, I'm the bread of life, and if you eat me, you will never hunger again. John 8:12, He says, I am the gate, or I am the door by which you enter. John chapter 8, verse 12, He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. John 15:5, He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So each one of these has some kind of meaning. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And then we get to the one we're going to talk about today. the one I'm excited to share with you today, because I believe some of you need to know, some of you need to be reminded and understand that we have a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. What an awesome picture of who Jesus is for each one of us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is the good news. It's good to know that we have someone who's looking out for us, who's protecting us, who cares for us. And the fact that he says, I'm the good shepherd, implies that there are other kinds of shepherds. What would they be? They would be bad shepherds. They would not be so good. He even refers to, not really a shepherd, but he says the hired hand, who, when trouble comes to the sheep, rather than protecting them, rather than helping them, what does he do? He turns and runs, and he just leaves the sheep because he doesn't care enough. Thankfully, Jesus cares enough for you and I, and he is the good shephered. And he doesn't just imply this. He actually says it in John chapter 10, verse 1. I'll get there in a minute. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. So we have an enemy here. It's a spiritual enemy. You guys know him as the Prince of Darkness. He hates God and he hates God's people. And his mission, this enemy's mission, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole goal. That's his purpose, is to basically hurt the things that are closest to God. And I love that even though it says that, the next line out of Jesus' mouth is, I am the good shepherd. In other words, it's okay. I'm here. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to take care of you. How many of you would agree there's a lot of awful things going on in the world right now? We're seeing a lot of death, from every kind of natural disaster to crazy people. I mean, it's out there, and the devil is working in order to rob and steal and kill. He is working. But Jesus said very clearly, I am the good shepherd. Now, if we look at sheep for just a moment, sheep are mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. If you were to go through and count how many times dogs are mentioned, it's about 44 times. I find it interesting that cats are never mentioned. To be fair, lion is mentioned, but it's in reference to Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So obviously the cat family is of the devil. So if you own a cat, I'm just telling you, you might want to get rid of it. Poor cat lovers, I'm sorry. I'm not one of them. But if we think about sheep for just a moment and think about how we, like sheep, sometimes go our own way. Sheep get lost very easily. And I'm going to pick on my wife for just a moment. I'm sorry, but it's too good of a story not to tell. We lived in a town of Bolivar, just north of Springfield, before we moved here a little over 9 years ago. And Bolivar is set up a lot like Chillicothe. And it has a square, just like Chillicothe, and everything kind of works from the square. You know, if something's north of the square, south of the square, east or west. And one day, I don't remember if I was in the office or at home, but I got a phone call because Courtney, in the town of Bolivar, a lot like Chillicothe, called me to tell me she was lost on the square. So, I don't know how. I don't know why she couldn't just turn right. Maybe she just kept turning right. I don't know. We'd have to go back and remember. We had just moved there, to be fair, but she got lost on the square. So, Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. Anybody know what it's like to be lost? Anybody remember a time when you were lost? Here's why. Each of us has turned to his own way. For us to turn to our own way, that means there was another way. There was the shepherd's way, but we chose to go our own way. and in doing so, we got lost. It's incredibly common for sheep to walk away from the shepherd and to find themselves seeing something else that interests them, seeing something else that looks better. And the reality is that where many of us are, we are trying so hard to find out life, to figure out life, to make the good decisions. But in doing so, many times we find ourselves going our own way. I think we can all relate to that. I know I can. And there are times, if we're just to be honest, in life, when it's very easy to obey the shepherd. If we're 100, 200 yards from the beautiful green pasture that he's leading us to, and we can see that lush green grass in front of him, how easy is it to follow him, to say, there's the blessing right there. I can see it. Sure, I want to follow the shepherd. Look where he's leading. Look how good that water looks. I'm so thirsty. I'm ready just to take a big drink of that wonderful water. But when it comes to him leading us somewhere where we're not comfortable, when it comes to him leading us into the unknown, where we can't see the blessing in front of us, where we can't see the goodness that he's trying to take us to, it's a little harder to obey. And sometimes we find ourselves going our own way. We forget the scripture that says this: there is a way that seems right to man, but leads to death. Sometimes it's a little easier to obey, but other times it's hard. But the second thing that we want to look at on the idea of sheep is they're pretty defenseless. Now, if you think about other animals, most animals have some kind of defense. Some have fangs, some have horns, some can be really fast to get away, some blend in to where you can't even see them. A lot of different animals have some kind of defense. Sheep are pretty defenseless without the shepherd. And here's another thing to think about. Without the flock, without being all together or the fold, whatever you want to call them, if you're away from the group, you're more vulnerable. So if you're actually trying to make a decision on which way to go, can I make it easy for you? Just follow all of us. That's what we're all trying to do, is just follow the shepherd. But we find ourselves kind of with the group, but all of a sudden, man, that looks good over there. I think I want to try that. I think I want to go see what that is. And as we find ourselves away from the fold, away from the herd, we find ourselves more vulnerable. Yet people say all the time, I don't have need for the church. I can do this on my own. We, like sheep, have gone astray. And without the good shepherd, without the protection of the good shepherd, without us being together, we find ourselves defenseless. Sheep are pretty stubborn. They have one thing in mind. They just want to do what they want to do. That's why they need the shepherd, to help them know where to go. If there is a boulder here and a boulder here and they want to go through it, they don't know reverse. They just try to make it through. Even if they wind up wedged between two boulders, they will do their best just to continue on. And as I'm talking about this being stubborn, I don't need you elbowing that person next to you saying, he's talking to you, or you're thinking of someone else. Remember, we're talking to ourselves here. And how many of you are, you already started thinking of somebody? I've heard girls talk about this. They'll say, why do I always get the bad guys? How come I always get the guys that, you know, don't care? But maybe you're fishing with the wrong bait. I mean, really, maybe you're fishing at the wrong pond to where you keep catching the wrong fish. Am I right here? Yet they will continue to do so and then say, why do I keep getting... Okay, that's all I'm going to say. All right. Sheep are filthy. That's nice, right? If you see them on TV, they look nice and white and fluffy and fixed and all that. Sheep aren't that way. They stink. They're dirty. They can't clean themselves. That's just what they are. They're sheep. And they're gross. And they need a shepherd. That's the point this morning, is sheep need a shepherd. And in this moment, I want to remind you that we have the greatest shepherd at our fingertips. All we have to do is just follow. How awesome is that? Now, I mentioned the difference in worship songs today. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about our stupidity or how we get lost or how we stink and all of that. I want to focus more on, not more on, I want to focus more on, the Good Shepherd. So you have them on the back of your bulletin. If you're following along with me, you can see them for yourself. What does the Good Shepherd do? Let's see what the Good Shepherd does for us. I'm really dry, so I'm going to take a lot of drinks today. I'm sorry. Number one, the Good Shepherd guides. We talked about being lost earlier. We sang the song, Psalm 23. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Ever find yourself with a big decision to make and you don't know what to do? When you seek the Lord, he will reveal himself to you and he will guide you. I love the scripture that Angie just read in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Let's just pause right there for just a moment. Our Good Shepherd calls each one of us by name. Therefore, he doesn't just know your name. He knows your history. He knows your hurts. He knows the time you fell in a hole and broke your leg. And he remembers that when it comes time to cross the creek. He remembers what you've done in your past. But it's okay. He knows you by name. And he is the Good Shepherd, and all he cares about is taking care of you. Because he loves you, and he wants you to know that he knows you by name. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Sheep recognize their shepherd's voice, so they follow him. Now, there's two reasons why you might not follow the shepherd. Number one, maybe you're not listening. Nobody wants to hear that, but it might be true. Maybe you're not even listening for that voice to know when to follow. Let me give you an example. My dad, is Jay Keeney here this morning? He's not, is he? Oh. Anybody know how to whistle like Jay Keeney? I mean, the dude's got... There we go. Got a couple of them. Okay, my dad could do that. Unfortunately, I never could, and I don't think he'd want me to in the microphone anyway. But thank you, Dalton. My dad had that kind of whistle. Was that Dalton? No, it wasn't. It was Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay. Anyway, my first and second grade years, we lived about a block from the school. And my parents would let us go down to the school and play on the playground. And my brother and sister and I, we would find other friends in the neighborhood. We'd all go down and play. But I can tell you this, the entire time we're playing, we were listening. Because my dad would say, "Hey, if I whistle, you know it's time to come home." They couldn't see us. They knew we were there. I knew where my parents were. They were at home. And I knew if I heard that whistle, it was time to go home. Now, there was a couple reasons I would want to do that. Number one, dinner might just be ready, so it might be time to eat. So I would want to go when I heard the whistle, because it might be time to have some food. But also, it might be time to go to bed. It might be for my protection. Maybe it was getting dark, so they were getting us in before something bad could happen. But it also, there was another reason I would listen for that whistle, and that was the idea that if I didn't, something might happen back here that didn't feel very good, and I had to make sure that I was listening for that whistle. So the question is, are you listening for the voice? And the second question is, do you recognize the voice? I'll use my dad again. If I walked in a room with 50 people blindfolded and my dad called my name, I would recognize that voice. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, whoever in your life who raised you. My parents both did, but I can walk in a room. I can do it right now. I can think about it. I can hear my dad's voice calling my name. I know it. and I would know exactly where he was in the room because I would recognize that voice. And the question is, have you been with your good shepherd long enough to recognize his voice? To know that voice when he calls your name? When he's leading you to greener pastures? When he's leading you to the still waters? The cool thing is that he does know our names. It's one of the most beautiful pictures to know that God is a personal and relational God, and he cares about each one of us. So if you're making a difficult decision, do I take this job? Do I not? Do I pursue this person? Do I not? Should I be a part of this church or should I not? If you will call out to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, here's the cool thing. All we have to do is call on him. His job is to guide us. What's our job? Just to follow. It takes the pressure off of us. The job is his to just guide us. Our job is just to follow. Have you ever gone on a long trip and you followed somebody? And when you're following, if they get lost, you don't care. It wasn't me. I didn't get us lost. You did. You made the wrong turns. You made the bad decision. So it's nice to be able to follow somebody because it takes the pressure off you. But when we're looking at this picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading us, our job is just to follow. So first of all, the Good Shepherd God. Secondly, he provides. He provides. Aren't you glad we serve a God who provides? Can you say amen to that? Psalm 23, I'll read it again. Verse 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. You ever think about how often you see sheep lying down? Now, you may say, oh, I don't see a lot of sheep, so I don't know. Sheep don't lie down a lot. Everything has to be perfect for a sheep to want to lie down. There's three things that they mainly are looking for. Number one, they need to be well fed to be able to lie down. They have to be full. They have to be getting along with the others. No tension in the fold. If there's tension, then there's unrest and they're not comfortable. They're not happy and they will not lie down. Or if they feel as though a predator is near, if they feel anything around them, they will not rest. But in the presence of the Good Shepherd who leads them to good pastures, they're full because they're in the presence of the Good Shepherd. He breaks up the fights. He calms the tension. He takes care of the predators and they're able to rest. Now, we've been talking a lot about sheep, I know. But let's talk about us for just a moment. And let me give you some pretty interesting statistics. So I know I'm talking to some of you in the room when I'm talking about this. 20 to 40% of adults have insomnia in the course of a year. One out of every three people have insomnia at some point in their life. Now, here's an interesting one. 70 million Americans suffer from sleep disorders. 60% of those have a chronic sleeping disorder. Sleep problems add an estimated $15.9 billion to the national health care costs. And finally, there are 84 different classifications of a sleeping disorder. And we think sheep have a problem sleeping. Why are we so uneasy? Why is it so hard for us to rest? Usually it's because of worry. It's a relational worry. Things are not good in the fold. Things are not good with those around us. Or things are not good where we were. Or things are not good. And worry begins to take over our life. Now, to understand this, worry comes from two Greek words. Marizo, which means to divide, and nos, which means the mind. So worry is dividing the mind. Anxiety splits our energy between today's priorities and tomorrow's problems. That's what worry is. It splits our mind. And when we are split in our mind, when we're worried about the unknown of the future, when we're focused on that, we find it hard to rest. But that's not the only result. People get sick because of worry. It's known to cause high blood pressure, heart trouble, blindness, migraines, thyroid malfunction, stomach disorders, all of this because of worry. Some of us need the Good Shepherd. Amen? Some of us need a little time with the Good Shepherd to bring some peace into our storms of life, to bring healing, forgiveness, and relationships. When the Good Shepherd is present, sheep are not afraid because He is there so they can rest. Our scripture in Psalm 23 said, He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep will not drink from rushing water. It has to be still for them to be comfortable enough to drink. And our Good Shepherd understands that. Therefore, Jesus tells us He is the living water. And once we drink of Him, we will never thirst again. He quenches that inward thirst so that we can be at rest. It goes on to say, He refreshes my soul. He is such a good provider. He's such a good shepherd. He doesn't just provide for us materially. He doesn't just provide for our bodies. He provides for our souls. And some of us in this room right now, you've got everything on the outside you could need. You've got everything you could possibly want on the outside, yet your soul still seems uneasy. You just need the Good Shepherd. It's the presence of the Good Shepherd that refreshes your soul. So the Good Shepherd guides and provides. He also corrects. Now, this may be good news for some of you who maybe you're the sheep that's wandering. The shepherd knows how to get you back. He knows how to help you get back with the fold. When we talked about sometimes going our own way, it reminds me of Jonah. It's one of the simplest stories in the Bible. We always hear that in Sunday school growing up. Jonah and the whale. And God called Jonah to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't go. He chose his own way. And from that, found himself lost, wound up on a boat, got thrown off the boat, swallowed by a fish. All of this happened because he didn't want to go the way God was asking him to go. Am I saying that you're going to get swallowed by a fish? No, that's not what I'm saying today. But when we lead ourselves our own way, when we try to go our own direction, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen that are out of our control because we're no longer with the shepherd. I like this scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Let me read that again. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, it didn't say it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who keep going the wrong way. Just keep on trucking the wrong way. And no, it says for those who have been trained by it, as we learn from our mistakes, as we learn how to get back to the shepherd, we find ourselves with harvesting righteousness and peace. What better things in the world could you harvest than righteousness and peace? Think about that. For your own life, you're not growing discord. You're not growing, you know, the pain or the angst or the unrest that we were just talking about. You're growing righteousness and peace. It hurts at first, but then we begin to harvest righteousness and peace. He corrects, but He also protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Good Shepherd is with me. And when He is with me, I have nothing to fear. Let's continue. I love, as he couldn't have written this any better. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, now, the shepherd's rod was the weapon he used to harm any kind of predator that made the sheep feel uneasy. Anything that threatened the sheep, he had a rod to take care of them. But he also had a staff. The staff was, once again, it had that hook on the end. You've seen a shepherd's staff. And it would hook the sheep and bring them back into the fold, or it might pull them out of a creek where they got stuck, or whatever it needed done, the shepherd had the staff. So just by the shepherd being there and having the rod and the staff, the sheep were comforted. They knew everything was going to be okay. Is there anything better than being in the presence of the good shepherd? Think about that. Where you can actually rest. Your soul is at rest. You anoint my head with oil. Now, the purpose of this is the sheep would get these flies that would land on their head, and they would nest there, or they would nest in their nose. Sounds disgusting, right? They would, like, these larvae would hatch, and they would climb up into the brain of the sheep. I mean, it would cause the brain, the sheep to either go crazy or to die because of these flies. So the shepherd would anoint their head with oil in order to protect them from the flies. The good shepherd says, I'll even take care of what irritates you. What's David say next? He says, my cup overflows. What does that mean? Well, once again, Old Testament tradition, when you were at someone's house, you were a guest there, and you're sitting at the table, as long as your cup was full, you were welcome at the table. If they let the cup get empty, it was time for you to go home. How many of you want to use this from now on when you've got guests at your house? It's like, hey, buddy, that cup's empty. It's time for you to go. You've overstayed your welcome. You're out. No, that was the tradition. As long as that cup was full, they were welcome at the table. And what David is saying is, I know in the presence of the shepherd, I am welcome. He cares enough for me. He loves me enough, and he wants me here. Surely goodness and love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, understand something. This does not mean there will never be physical harm fall upon you. That's not what I'm saying. But in spiritual terms, there has been stored up for you an inheritance that will never spoil or perish or fade. And the good shepherd is the one who would lay down his life for you. In fact, Jesus even told a parable about this. And he said there was this shepherd who had 100 sheep. And even if just one of those would walk away and find himself lost, the shepherd cared enough to leave the 99 and go for the one. What a beautiful picture. To know that even when we're lost, he still cares enough about little me to leave the 99 to come and get me. I want you to think about this for a moment. Will you bow your heads with me? Today, may you be reminded of the Good Shepherd and that he knows your name. And many of us think there's just been too many things I've done wrong. There's been too many things that I can't forget, that I just don't see how that Good Shepherd could love me enough to welcome me back. You know what? You're the one. You're the one who has stepped away. And in this moment, can I remind you, he is a good shepherd. And he loves you and he wants you back. There is nothing that you have done that you cannot come back to the fold. So if you're in this room right now and you say, Chad, I'm the one. There may be more than one of you, but you're saying, Chad, I'm the one. And I just need prayer. I want you to pray for me this morning that I would begin to follow the shepherd and recognize how much he loves me and how much he cares for me. And if that is you in this place, I just want to pray with you. Will you please raise your hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Usually it takes one, and then others. are willing to raise your hand. Anybody else? You need to come back to the shepherd. Thank you. Wait just a moment. If there's someone else that God is speaking to. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Let's say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. I receive you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's that simple. That simple. Can we give these a hand to accept Christ this morning? I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward. So we're not finished here. We're going to remember the Good Shepherd a little longer as we look at what he was willing to do for each one of us. Luke chapter 22, verse 20, it says, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Remember, we talked about the Good Shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And that's exactly what he did for each one of us. Aren't you thankful for that today? Come on, can you say amen to that? Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to lay down your life for the sheep. I mentioned earlier John 11, 25, where Jesus is speaking to Martha about Lazarus, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And it's because of that. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." After you have received the elements this morning, will you just bow your head and spend a little time with the Good Shepherd in this moment, being reminded of what he has done for each one of us.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And
To you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending the Good Shepherd to care for us, to love us, to protect us, to guide us, but most importantly, God, to die for each one of us. Thank you that he knows us by name. And as we leave this place today, God, may we just be willing to follow the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you.